Hey, I'm Kevin.
Hey, I'm Johnny Yee.
Tune into our radio show, Philly Rock Live.
We play the classic hard rock and metal
from the 70s and 80s.
We grew up on.
We play the new music those same bands are making today.
And we play new music from around the world.
Not to mention the great bands from our own local scene. You will not hear a mix of music like this anywhere else.
If it kicks ass,
we play it. Philly Rock Live.
Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m. Philly time.
On PhillyRockRadio.com. Listen online with your mobile device or even your smart speaker.
Do you like sports? How about metal? What if you could have both in one podcast? Sports and Metal, available now on all major podcast platforms, including Apple Music, Spotify, and Anchor. We're all about hard-hitting sports talk and the sounds of bone-crunching metal. Sports and Metal with Jason Voorhees and Aaron Savage.
Ooh, yeah.
Because sports and metal just go better together. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Sports and Metal. It's time. It's time for And the Gavel Will Rock.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
In this rebel courtroom, the best in hard rock and metal will stand trial. And the Gavel Will Rock starts now. Here are your hosts, Jason Voorhees and Aaron Savage.
Ooh, yeah.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the world premiere of And the Gavel Will Rock, brought to you by your co-hosts. I'm Aaron Savage. With me, as always, my sports and metal partner in crime, Mr. Jason Voorhees. And we are super excited to bring you this world premiere episode of And the Gavel Will Rock. This is a podcast where we will debate anything metal and rock related in a courtroom setting to determine who is the best of the best and the baddest of the baddest in metal and rock and roll. And tonight, we're going to be debating what is the best Metallica album. What is Metallica's masterpiece? What is the premier record in Metallica's catalog? That's what we're going to be debating in tonight's courtroom. But before we get started, I have to give a special thanks to our sponsor, La Touraine Watches. You want to go to their website, www.la-touraine.com. You're going to use our promo code S&M. That's the letters S&M as in sports and metal. And you're going to save 10% off your purchase at checkout. Once again, that's www.la-touraine.com. La Touraine Watches, the best in handcrafted watches available at the best price point. Promo code S&M as in sports and metal is going to save you 10% at checkout. Without further ado, let's get started. Jason Voorhees, my partner in crime, welcome to the courtroom. How are you, Jay?
What's up, man? We've been wanting to do this forever. I mean, I know, we've talked about this for a long time, and I'm super stoked. Obviously, what better band to start with than Metallica? Pretty much, 99% of the population knows who Metallica is.
Yeah, so
even if you're not a metal fan, you know who they are, and I'm sure you've probably heard quite a few of their songs. So,
absolutely.
In that respect, I think we picked a great introductory band to start with.
Yeah, so before we get started really debating our picks for the best Metallica album, why don't we start by just giving kind of a list that you and I created prior to the show of where we rank the top Metallica albums. If you'd like, I'll go first. What do you think, Jay?
Yeah, I'll pull yours up.
So if you look at my list, I don't know if you could see the bottom. Well, I'm going to start from the worst, which I think a lot of people would agree with me is Saint Anger. Awful, awful, awful record. That was produced by Bob Rock, which amazes me every time I think about it, because he also produced the legendary Black Album, which is like one of the most bombastic sounding metal or records otherwise of all time. But Saint Anger was just awful sounding. Lars's snare drum sounds like a garbage can. There's no solos, which to me completely dates it to the time. It came out like the height of nu metal. A lot of the stuff actually sounds to me kind of like System of a Down. And if you watch the documentary, Some Kind of Monster, that Metallica did, that, showed them in the studio recording that record after they lost Jason Newsted, James Hetfield went into rehab, Bob Rock played bass on the record. There's a scene in that where Kirk Hammett actually says, you know, not having guitar solos on this record is going to date the record to this time, which was 2003. And he was absolutely right. Here we are in 2022, and it's completely dated to that time. Next on my list is going to be Reload. I don't hate the record. The only Metallica album I actually hate is Saint Anger. I think Reload's a solid record, but it's definitely not Metallica's best, and it's all leftover stuff from the Load sessions. You know, it's stuff that didn't make Load. So for the most part, I could do without it. I don't hate it. I like it, but I don't love it. The biggest hit that you hear every day on the radio to this day is a song I actually can't stand, Fuel. And for some reason, it's always in their live show still to this day. And there's so many better songs from Load and Reload than Fuel. Next up, I'm going to say Death Magnetic at number 9. The reason I rank Death Magnetic as low as I do is because the production on that record is awful. Death Magnetic came out in 2008. It was kind of a comeback of sorts after Saint Anger. It was a return to the classic Metallica sound as far as like shredding guitar solos, thrash riffing, lyrical content. That was kind of a throwback to classic Metallica. Excellent song, The Day That Never Comes. The way it builds up in the beginning and then the big outro solo with the double bass really harkens back to One. And that kind of nails where I think of Death Magnetic. I really think it's like the modern day And Justice for All album from Metallica. Both records were poorly produced, but Death Magnetic is just almost unlistenable. It's so poorly produced. It's, you know, everything now is louder, louder, later, louder, 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 you know, digital compression in the studio, which makes it sound like a big wall of sound. They want everything loud. So there's no nuance. You listen to a lot of older records, you can hear like the little rhythm sections on that are layered over other rhythm sections. You know, you think of Def Leppard Hysteria. Obviously it's kind of dated to the 80s as far as the production goes, but you can hear like 15 guitar parts when you listen to the song Hysteria. Whereas like Death Magnetic, even if there were 15 guitar parts, you can't hear them because it's all compressed so loud, makes the record unlistenable. If you don't have a really good stereo, Death Magnetic cracks the speakers. It's just not a good record to listen to. And it's a shame because there's a lot of good material on it. But that being said, it's also overlong, very unfocused. A lot of the songs could have really been condensed and turned into like really good songs without all the changes, which I think is similar to Injustice for All, but I have that higher on my list. I'll get to that record. Next up, I have Kill 'Em All at number 8. Now, I know that's going to be blasphemy for a lot of people who might rank that record number 1. And it is like the door that ushered thrash into the vernacular. You know, that was like in many ways the first thrash album. And it's not that I don't love the record. It's not that I don't recognize its importance, but I just think it was Metallica before Metallica matured. It was Metallica before they really became who they were going to be. Lyrically, it's a step below almost anything they've ever done since. And I don't know, a lot of the songs just are very basic compared to stuff they did subsequent to that record. So as important as it is, I rank it at number 8. Again, blasphemy here. I'm going to rank Load at number 7. How do I rank Load ahead of Kill 'Em All? Simply because Metallica had become such a mature band at that point. They experimented with so many different sounds, and they were just like great at what they did. They wanted to change it up. I can't fault them for wanting to change. How many times can you make the same record? You know what I'm saying? So they experimented with like country tinned songs like Mama Said, Johnny Cash-ish. Certain songs had a few thrash elements like Ain't My Bitch, Wasting My Hate, a couple parts, but it's just a much more experimental record. And again, Reload was all the leftover stuff from Load. So if you're going to get an album from that era, Load or Reload, you're going to go with Load. And I think it's really a good record. And I think if it was put out by a band not called Metallica, we'd all love it. But obviously, old school Metallica fans call it a sellout. I don't. I'm not narrow-minded. I think metalheads as a community tend to be very narrow-minded. And I think that's unfair. Next up, I'm going to have Hardwired, the latest Metallica record. Came out a couple years ago. And now we're getting where it's like, these are all really good records. I think Hardwired was the true return to form that Death Magnetic wasn't. It's still, you know, a very loud record, very compressed, but it's not as unlistenable production-wise as Death Magnetic. It actually sounds good. There's some great killer tunes on this record. Hardwired to Self-Destruct is actually the full name of the record. The actual first single was Hardwired, so I should have elaborated there. The full name of the record is Hardwired to Self-Destruct. The first single was like the first Hardwired was the first song where Metallica was like flagrantly dropping F-bombs on an original track. I know they did on So What on Garage, but that was an old Anti-Nowhere League punk song. This is the first time a Metallica song was like dropping F-bombs. So it was kind of like people were like, oh, did they run out of ideas? They're trying to get our attention with F-bombs. And I agree. It's almost like the worst track on the record, even though it was the first single, Moth Into Flame. Unbelievable song that harkens back to that bombastic Black album sound. Now That We're Dead's another one, mid-tempo song, not a thrash song, but definitely Black album era, Sad But True. And the middle section drum solo in that song is awesome. And if you saw Metallica live on that tour, it was awesome the way they did like this epic 10-minute drum solo where Lars was doing it. And then, you know, Kirk Hammett would get on bongos and James Hetfield would get on bongos. And then Rob Trujillo would get on the bongos. And it was just, the song was epic live. And I'm sure it will always be if they keep it in their set. Atlas Rise is another one. And perhaps a song that could make the top five list of Metallica all-time songs, Spit Out the Bone is on this record. This is the best Metallica song that they've written in 20 years. Epic double bass drumming, awesome vocals. It's total throwback thrash Metallica. Unbelievable song. So Hardwired, I could even maybe go higher on it. I could actually maybe, if you look at my list here, I have Injustice for All Four, Hardwired 6. I could maybe flop those. I'm not like married to my list, Jay. I'm not. Like, you could convince me otherwise. That's why I just kind of threw this list together. Now we're getting where I love all these records. So I had Hardwired 6 and Justice for All 4. I might be able to flip-flop that. That's how much I like Hardwired. And as I talked about, Injustice for All, the production is just not there for me. I'll get more into Injustice when I get there. But number 5, another pick, you'd be like, wow, is this even considered a studio record? Garage Inc. I have to put it here. Obviously, it included Garage Revisited and Garage Re-Revisited, the prior two Metallica EPs. So it had all those classic Metallica tracks that were covers, like Am I Evil, Blitzkrieg. It also had some other B-side stuff that they did, like in the Injustice for All and Black Album period. The Queen cover, Stone Cold Crazy's awesome. Bread Fan, which was awesome, and they played it live a ton. But then it had like a whole new set of cover songs that they recorded in the studio for this record. An album unto itself, which is why, you know, Garage Inc. is a double album. And so some of the stuff on there is awesome. The Whiskey in the Jar, Thin Lizzy version cover, awesome. The Merciful Fate medley is epic Metallica. And to me, whether you're talking about the newly recorded stuff for Garage Inc. or the stuff from the old EPs, in particular Re-Revisited and the B-side stuff from like Black Album era, I could make the argument that's the best Metallica ever sounded, which is, again, a controversial statement. But like, it's less produced, but not so underproduced that it sounds like shit. It's just raw. Metallica never sounded as raw as they did in all the garage stuff that they did. And I mean, again, I could maybe rank that record higher. The only reason I don't is because it is all covers. But I love Garage Inc. Number 4, again, I had Injustice for All. I talked about that. Again, I could maybe rank it lower, which is controversial. I recognize the greatness of songs like One and Blackened, which is awesome, especially the intro and the buildup, and the song Injustice for All. But a lot of it is just so overlong, kind of like Death Magnetic. It's like, to me, it's a band that had lost its focus after Cliff Burton passed away. And a lot of the songs could have been condensed. In particular, the title track, Injustice for All. I mean, there's so many changes in it. I don't know if it's necessary for that to be a 9-10 minute song, as great as it is, you know? And again, then we get into the production aspect. It's not like compressed where it's unlistenable in the sense of like the modern stuff like Death Magnetic, but it's very tinny sounding. It's very trebly. And the bass is completely turned down. You can't hear a Jason Newsted note on this record. Again, obviously it's a band that had lost their way a little bit after the death of Cliff Burton. And it's amazing. The Garage Re-Revisited stuff they released around the same time, a little bit before Injustice for All, with Jason on bass, again, was to me some of the best sounding stuff, if not the best sounding Metallica ever sounded. So I don't understand why then they had such shitty production on Injustice for All. Makes no sense. At number 3, I have Ride Lightning. Now, to me, these top 3, any one of them could be number 1. So again, Jay, I'm not married to this. I could be convinced otherwise. To me, Ride the Lightning was where Metallica became Metallica. Like I said, Kill 'Em All, immature band. The diversity wasn't there. But Ride the Lightning, they found themselves. You had thrash masterpiece, like Fight Fire with Fire, ending is near, which has got to be the heaviest song they've ever put on tape. The heaviest song. But then you have an epic ballad about teen suicide, Fade to Black, which is the first time Metallica recorded a ballad, which would become a signature staple for them on future records, which I'll get to. But, I mean, you also had the epic For Whom the Bell Tolls. Ride the Lightning, the title track is unbelievable. And even some of the songs that don't get the recognition, like Escape, are just amazing to me. To me, that's the first Metallica record where they are Metallica. At two, I have Master of Puppets. Again, another epic ballad. Maybe my favorite Metallica song of all time, in Sanitarium. This is the album that a lot of people consider the creme de la creme of Metallica's catalog, the magnum opus. And I can't necessarily disagree with it. Again, any of these top three, I can go either way. It's the last album with Cliff Burton on bass, who died, you know, on the tour bus after the album had been released when they were on tour. But I mean, Master of Puppets is as epic a metal track as you're ever going to find. It's about drug addiction and how it controls you and you're the puppet. Again, Sanitarium, the epic ballad. Battery, an amazing song. The unbelievable instrumental Orion. And I can go on and on. Every track on the record is a masterpiece. Absolutely, absolutely. And then at number one, I have the Black Album, which, again, I could interchange it. This might be a controversial pick for a lot of diehard Metallica fans who consider this the sellout record. But guess what? The Black Album is not Load. Load was where Metallica really changed their sound, and that's a great record. But Black Album is just Metallica streamlining their sound. Like I said, some of the stuff on Injustice for All was way too overlong. The Black Album was the follow-up, and they were like, they got Bob Rock in the studio because they had heard the Motley Crue Dr. Feelgood album that Bob Rock produced, and they were like, how the heck did they get such a bombastic drum sound and such a thick bottom end on that Motley Crue record? So they wanted that. Bob Rock comes in, they got that sound. You could make the argument the Black Album is the best sounding album of all time. It really is, like, right there. And Bob Rock said, look, let's streamline this. So the songs are shorter, more concise, and just really more to the point. They're no less heavy. They're just more to the point. So I never understood the sellout thing. Yeah, I mean, it got more accessible because the length of the songs was cut back and they started making videos. But so what? They weren't entitled to make some money? The record is unbelievable. Unforgiven, an amazing track. Again, arguably my favorite Metallica song, Nothing Else Matters, like same as Sanitarium. Sad But True is just heavy bottom end across the board. Wherever I May Roam, unbelievable track. Oh my God, a couple of my other, one of my favorite Metallica songs of all time, My Friend of Misery. I love the opening bass line, which was written by Jason Newsted. So this is the first time you really heard Jason. I'll get more into the record when we debate, but I have the Black Album ranked number one, and that's my list. Why don't you give us yours, Jay?
Dude, it's phenomenal.
Thank you. I think both of them are going to be phenomenal. We love Metallica.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of ours are the same, but there are some differences. So
let's see what you got.
That's why we call it a debate.
Yep.
Yeah, so let me pull mine up, my list.
We have a commenter here. I like Saint Anger. Yeah, more power to you. That's why we all have different tastes.
Okay, so yeah, I think my list is cut off a little bit here too.
All right, but yeah, we just give it to us.
Yeah, so obviously, at the very, very well, first let me I didn't bring it up, but let me start by prefacing that my list doesn't include, obviously, Lulu, which wasn't really even a Metallica record.
That's a Lou Reed record. Same reason I left it off. Yeah.
But also an album that I really love and would have liked to have included, but it's really not a studio album per se, and that's S&M.
Well, we agree. That's a live album. We both left live albums off of our list. So to elaborate the point, you left S&M off. We both left Live Shit, Binge, and Purge off, and any other live recordings we left off. So yes. Yeah.
Yep. So anyway, starting at the bottom, obviously Saint Anger, I really don't have much to say about it, except that I can't stand it. That comes in at number 11. For me, number 10, this could have been interchanged, but I do happen to like Load a little better. So for me, number 10 is actually Reload. Not a bad record. Like I said, I think the top 10 are actually all good records. They're just not all great. Load, I can listen to Reload. I still like it. I still respect it for being Metallica. But to me, it was kind of like a little bit too long of an album. I think they kind of overdid it. And it was, I know they were trying to follow up on off of Load, but I kind of think it kind of went off.
Well, it was all leftover stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So for me, that's why it falls lower than Load. Load, I actually happen to like Load, to be honest with you. It's not, obviously not my favorite Metallica record, but in the scheme of things, you know, obviously we all realize it's made for radio. I'm an old school thrash guy, so it's obviously not my go-to when it comes to Metallica, but I obviously I respect it. Now, here's where I know you had Death Magnetic a little lower. I actually like Death Magnetic. Now, the only reason that I think Death Magnetic doesn't get the credit that it deserves is the production value. So I understand when we're ranking records, you have to include that. But I think the record per se and the songs are actually really good. Just the sounds, all, you know, obviously. And you hit on a lot of this, so I'm not going to rehash what you already said.
Yeah, and I think the songs are a little overlong. That's my personal opinion, but.
Yeah, so obviously coming in at number seven, I have Hardwired. Now, listen, I'm just like you. I think a lot of these could be interchangeable or moved up or down depending on the day of the week for me. Hardwired to Self-Destruct, honestly, I actually really, really like it a lot. And the more I listen to it, I actually like it even more every time I hear it. Because one thing I do like about Hardwired is it realistically did go back to their kind of their heyday. And I think it's what Death Magnetic really was trying to hit on, but wasn't able to kind of get there. If that
I think
makes
we
sense.
Feel the same way about that.
Now you already, you touched on it. The diehards are going to be a little pissed about this, but Kill 'Em All to me, I realistically think the value that it has as far as what it means to metal and thrash is absolutely up there, but I still can't put it at the top of the list for Metallica, because to me, it's not their best record. So that comes in at number six. Now, Garage Inc., you're the one that got me hooked on this. And I a lot of times forgot to include this when I was originally actually writing my list. Because I wrote this list, my own list, 3 years ago when I was doing, you know, my writing for the blog. So I actually didn't include Garage Inc. And then when you reminded me about it, I went back and listened to it. And I was like, there's no way you can't include it. It's actually that great of a record. A lot of people don't consider it, you know, to be some of Metallica's best work. But I got to be honest with you. Their sound at that time, I think you're right. You're touching on something. They really, really honed in their sound. And I love it. Now, number four, this is actually controversial for me, because at one point in my life, I actually would have had Injustice for All at number one.
Yeah, and I know that, so I'm surprised to see you have them at number four, have that record at number four.
Because I guess it's because the more I've grown to understand music and understand, like, you know, timing and chords and all that, actually from playing guitar, I realize not that Injustice for All is a bad record. It's just a lot of it has to do with, as you said, the sound and the production and the bass. Like, to me, you can tell the difference between Ride the Lightning and Master of Puppets and Injustice for All. And I think a lot of it has to do with the bass. Not to say Jason Newsted is not a good bassist, because I think he's actually very good. But Cliff Burton to me is probably at the top of, he might be in the top five basses of all time, in my opinion. He was just unbelievable and amazing at what he could do with a guitar. And you see most of that on, obviously, Master of Puppets and Ride the Lightning. So
before you go to your next part of your list, because this is a good opportunity for me to have a little conversation here with you on this. Hold on. As great as Cliff Burton is, I think Jason Newsted himself would say he couldn't replace Cliff. I don't think it has anything to do with the skills of Jason Newsted as a bass player, because I think he's one of the best in the game. It's just a matter of, like, they didn't want to replace Cliff and they turned him down. I just wanted to add that in.
That's fine. But I realize and recognize the greatness of Cliff Burton, and I can feel it on those records. And yeah, actually... Okay. He wrote a lot of those records, sure, and that's why I've changed. Because when I see that his creativity, that he actually brought a lot of that to the band, not that Jason Newsted didn't, but if you read and you do deep dives, you realize Cliff Burton was a lot more responsible for those two great albums than a lot of people know. You know, everyone always wants to say it's James Hetfield and Lars, but Cliff Burton had a lot to do with it because of the classical sound And that's what I'll get into later. But
yeah, and I kind of to your point, I think that's also why Ride the Lightning and Master of Puppets were much more focused records. I think because they didn't want any input from Jason Newsted and they had lost Cliff, I think Lars and James kind of lost their way on Injustice for All. And that kind of goes into where I think the songs are overlong. You listen to Ride the Lightning and Master of Puppets, the songs, again, are not necessarily Black Album concise. There are still like your epic songs that are 8-9 minutes long, like Master of Puppets. But overall, the songs are a lot more concise. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they're more to the point. And mm-hmm. like I said, Injustice for All, like, you know, you said it. You were actually shocked that I didn't have it number one on my list. Because like I said, at one time, I did. And that's not to say I don't like it. It's probably still my most enjoyable Metallica record because I love like the opening. I mean, Blackened is just
unbelievable,
freaking phenomenal opener. I mean, not that Battery isn't, but it's just that record. Like I said, overall, I mean, one is probably in the top. It's definitely in the top three. It might be the top Metallica song ever written.
It's possible. I agree. Long.
So. But I think overall, the other two records have more great content in them. That leads me to number three, which is the Black Album. I'm like Aaron. Realistically, this top three could be interchangeable. The only reason I don't have Black Album number one or number two is because I don't just consistently think that a record that's your number one selling album is your best album.
And
not that that's what you're going to get at or say, but a lot of people do use that as their criteria for like what a best album is. And if that's what your criteria is, then yes, Black Album like trumps everything. I mean, because Black Album was basically took Metallica, who was already great, and put them into another stratosphere as far as like what they were as artists. So I have to respect that. Obviously, you hit on all the songs on the Black Album. But I think what makes the Black Album more amazing is that it's not even just the hits, but it's those deep cuts. Like, to me, My Friend of Misery might be in my top five Metallica songs of all time. And it's
We both agree.
That's why I think the Black Album a lot of times is slept on, because a lot of people will say, oh, well, you know, Enter Sandman's overplayed, or, you know, there's always an excuse, or Metallica sold out. But I don't necessarily think that you can sit there and say that because they sold out, it's not a good record. They sold out to the people that wanted to hear that raw sound. That doesn't necessarily mean they sold out. It's just they kind of honed in their sound to be able to play it on radio and get, play to the masses. Mm-hmm. And you know what? As a person, I can understand that as a business. You know what I'm saying?
But to your point, though, I don't think it's just about because they wanted to be on radio. And the songs, in many ways, are just better songs. But we'll get to that. I think I just think Metallica, that was, to me, pinnacle Metallica, where they had the guidance from a producer. I just wanted to chime in. It's your list. We'll get to that. Go.
No, you're fine. I'm glad. That's what this is. It's a metal show. We debate metal and we talk about metal. That's what this is about. There's
no formal rules in this courtroom.
Yeah, exactly. We're allowed to cross examine without having a judge's authority.
There you go.
Or slapping the gavel on us.
Order in the court. All right, go on, Jack.
Okay, so that brings me to my second record, which obviously, like I said, and a lot of this we're repeating, but that's what happens when you talk about these albums and songs. But Ride the Lightning, to me, could very easily be their number one. The only reason that I put Master of Puppets over Ride the Lightning is I believe Master of Puppets, to me, is a perfect record. There's not one track on the album that I would say, maybe could have been left off. Whereas with Ride the Lightning, a lot of people will say it's sacrilegious, but Trapped Under Ice, to me, is not like a phenomenal song. Like, I think that album could have lived without that song, just my opinion. And I think for what Ride the Lightning gets as far as credit, I think a lot of the songs, I think a lot of it's top heavy. Like, the hits are like amazing, but it's not a balanced record where I say Master of Puppets kind of takes what Ride the Lightning did and perfected it. And that's why I have Master of Puppets number one. And realistically, I'll get into that when we debate. But obviously, Master of Puppets for me is the best Metallica album.
Okay.
So
that's where we are. You have Master of Puppets ranked number one. I have the Black Album ranked number one. Now, I'm going to tell you why I think the Black Album is better than Master of Puppets. I don't disagree with you. I do think in many ways, Master of Puppets is a perfect album. It really is. Let's go through the record. It opens with Battery, which is, you know, classic Metallica. But here's my thing. As much as I love Battery, it's not to me one of the most memorable songs. It's definitely a little bit abrasive. It doesn't have a big hook. It's a great song. And you know I'm a metalhead, so I love it. But it doesn't have a big hook. Like Master of Puppets, I think, has a bigger hook. Master of Puppets is like as good as anything Metallica ever did. So there you go. That's like an elite song. The Thing That Should Not Be slows it down a little bit. Again, it's an excellent song. But I mean, I like a lot of the stuff on Black Album better than The Thing That Should Not Be. Now, to me, the pinnacle of Master of Puppets is Welcome Home Sanitarium. That might be my number one favorite Metallica song. And I guess this is why I rank Master of Puppets above Ride the Lightning, because as much as I love Fade to Black, I love Sanitarium more. And to me, they're very similar. Although I love the live shit Binge and Purge version of
Fade to Black.
Unbelievable. I love the Lars with the tongue moves and hitting the bombastic drums at the time. If we could bring live albums into this debate, Jay, I don't know. I might rank Binge and Purge in my top three. Talk about live albums that have a great sound. Binge and Purge is right there. But let's get back to Master of Puppets. I didn't mention it when I first was going through my list, but I think my two favorite songs, I just told you Sanitarium. I think my other favorite song on Master of Puppets is a song neither one of us has yet to mention today. Disposable Heroes, dude. I love the lyrical content. I love the chorus. It's so freaking heavy. To me, that's an epic song. And I love the visual of the title, Disposable Heroes. Like, we send our young men to war to die on the front lines. They're disposable heroes, right? Back to the front. Excellent, excellent song. Lyrically, unbelievable. Leper Messiah is excellent lyrically. Orion, unbelievable instrumental, and Damage Incorporated is classic Metallica. So, I mean, there's so much good stuff here. It's an unbelievable record, dude. I can't deny it. The production for all the older Metallica records, I definitely think that Master of Puppets is the best sounding of the old Metallica records. I think, whereas Ride the Lightning was a huge step up production-wise from Kill 'Em All, Master of Puppets was that much more of a step up production-wise from Ride the Lightning. So these are reasons why I do rank Master of Puppets above Ride the Lightning. I just think they kept progressing to the next level. And then I think, they took that huge step back on Injustice for All, as great as one is. I'm at a loss for words because I'm acknowledging it's a great record. It's hard for me to argue against it. But I have to go Black Album, dude. I have to go Black Album. Now, let's go through the Black Album a little bit. The one thing that I think totally elevates the Black Album above any other Metallica record is the production. Dude, you can make the argument that the Black Album is the greatest sounding album of all time. And I think that means something. I think that counts for something. A lot of I love a raw record. Like, my favorite Guns N' Roses album is Appetite. It's raw. And I do think that The Illusions, for example, were super overproduced. So I do think there's a fine line when you talk about production and something being overproduced. But once in a while, I think you find that perfect middle ground where you didn't go too far with the production and you've reached like production perfection. And I think the Black Album is like right there. It's not overproduced in the sense that it has like layers and layers of instruments and vocal overdubs like the Illusion records do. It's still a raw sounding Metallica album. And I think James Hetfield's voice never sounded better than it did you know, on the period where they did the Black album and then the subsequent tour that became the Live Shit Binge and Purge Live album. I called it Attack Vocals. That was James Hetfield at his peak, where he still had that gruff in his voice. You know, everything after that, he started singing like, oh, like almost like operatic. He still had the, oh, like, oh, yeah, James Hetfield. Ah. You know what I'm talking about. Like he used to go, it's the thing that should not be. Now he goes, it's the thing that should. He still had that vocal style at that time. And it was like as good as it ever sounded. But yet he had discovered his voice a little bit. Like Nothing Else Matters. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful song. Metallica had never done anything like Nothing Else Matters. They took risks. So again, you got the production sound. The drums sound bombastic. The layers of guitars sound unbelievable. The songs are concise. They were made into songs that had a focus. They weren't overdone. If something was excessive, they cut it out. They had Bob Rock guiding them to make those decisions, and they listened. They finally said, you know, we don't know everything. We want to listen to somebody. And he kind of molded them. He brought them to the potential that they always had. He let them find that potential. The bass is there. You can hear Jason. Like I said, Jason's a great bass player. You can hear the bass. And again, this was the first album where they started experimenting with different styles without completely abandoning metal and thrash like they did later on Load and stuff. This was still a Metallica record. Even though Nothing Else Matters is on there, it still, to me, sounds like a metal ballad. You know, whereas like Mama Said on Load sounds like a country song. I mean, it's like there's nothing like that on the Black album where they completely, you know, deviated away from everything that made the Metallica. The Black album is Metallica, dude. You listen to The Struggle Within. The opening guitar line with over those snare drums, it sounds like a marching band. That sounds to me that could be on Injustice for All. I think The Struggle Within, the intro to that, and even the verses, that song sounds like it could have been on Injustice for All, except it's so far superior produced. I think The Struggle Within is better than the worst song on Master of Puppets. That's another reason I rank the Black album. I think the worst songs on the Black album are better than the worst songs on Master of Puppets. So if you're going to make the argument that the best songs on Master of Puppets are absolute masterpieces, I think it's only fair that you have to acknowledge that the best songs on the Black album are absolute masterpieces. And when I'm saying best songs, I'm not talking Enter Sandman. And Enter Sandman is a great song. It's just we're all sick of it. But I'm talking songs like Nothing Else Matters, Sad But True, Wherever I May Roam. These are absolute masterpiece classic Metallica songs that are in their set list every night. Just like Master of Puppets. Sanitarium's not even in their set list every night. But again, that now you could argue because they became so popular and they appealed to a wider audience of not just metalheads. It's a fair argument to make, but it doesn't make those songs any less amazing. And again, I'm kind of like babbling left and right here. Back to Nothing Else Matters. It was definitely an experimental song. It was something you never would have expected from them. And James Hetfield was afraid to even show it to the band. It was like him opening his heart, like, you know, about a relationship he was in at the time and being on tour. And they loved it. And they put it on the record. Bob Rock said, like, we got to record this thing. And the solo is awesome. It's goosebump inducing. And again, James's voice, it was the first time he really, really sang on a record. And he sounded amazing. Amazing. So again, Enter Sandman's the biggest hit on this record. And it's a song I could never hear again. I'm so sick of it. Dude, what about the songs that really sound like thrash songs? Holier Than Thou, Through the Never. Now, again, these songs were like 3-minute songs. If they had appeared on prior Metallica records, they might have been 9-minute songs and they would have been overlong. And the 3 minutes of greatness might have been lost in the 9 minutes of all over the place, unfocused music. Yo, what if the whole song, Holier Than Thou, was like the middle section of a song on Death Magnetic? You probably wouldn't even remember it. That's what makes the Black album great. It's focused. It's memorable because it's 3 minutes of balls to the wall thrash. You are, you know not. And you know not, Jay, that the Black album is the best Metallica record, the masterpiece. I will allow you to retort.
You rest your case.
Well, for now, I don't know if I rest it. Let's see what you got.
Well, no, I mean, like I said, man, this debate is fun. like we both agree. We both love Metallica. We both say that any of the top three records are interchangeable in a sense that we could realistically put either one at the top. For me, as I said, Master Puppets, it's not only the greatest Metallica album of all time, but in my opinion, it's the greatest thrash album of all time. And that's
a big argument that you
really
have here.
Really, to me, is a no-brainer why it becomes their best album. Because, like I said, the Black Album, I can't necessarily say is the best thrash album of all time. Whereas Master of Puppets, it realistically is. So that is part of my major argument of why I have this record where I do. Now, I understand that Master of Puppets is obviously not their best-selling album. That distinction goes to the one that you just fought for. And you know what? In that sense, like I said, that's what made Metallica who they are as artists. And you can't deny that. And you can't sit there and criticize it either because, like I said, it's a business. That's their livelihood. Listen, if I was in a band, I'd want to make the most money I could. Anybody that says it's not true is lying to themselves. So I get that. But as I said, to me, the reason why Master of Puppets is what I call the magnum opus, the Mount Rushmore, whatever you want to call it, whatever your word is or terminology for it, is that it is the greatest thrash album of all time. As I said, first and foremost, it's flawless. There's not one bad song on the album. There's not any what we would call, I basically say it's the term no killer.
All killer, zero filler, right?
Okay. All killer, zero filler. We've all heard that term. Well, Master of Puppets is the epitome of that.
It's I think both of these records.
A perfected record. And you know what? Like, I'll give you the credit on the Black Album. There is absolutely probably no album, even outside of metal, that sounds as great as that. Because we realized that that was produced at a time, like, I remember when that was album was produced, it was like right after Dr. Feelgood, correct? And that was considered one of the greatest.
Well, they got Bob Rock because of the Feelgood record. They loved the way that record sounded.
So that sound or whatever Bob Rock did, we agree. You know, Black Album is definitely superior to Master of Puppets in that. So I'll give you that.
But a lot of people don't like that because they consider that to be part of the show.
I know, but I'm past that argument. I mean, I'm not that guy. You know that. I don't look at that. I look at the facts. And the facts are that Black Album will beat Master of Puppets when it comes to sound production. You can't deny that. Yeah. Even I can't deny it in this argument. So that's a point to you, so to speak. Not only is it the greatest thrash, it was the first true thrash record that actually went platinum. That's saying a lot too, because
that is.
You got to give it credit for what it did for the genre.
With no videos on MTV, I agree.
And no music airplay on the radio, realistically, until obviously now you can hear it on like satellite radio. But at the time, it was basically what you would call underground metal. I mean, even up until, you know, basically until Justice for All came out. So, if you look at the record as a whole, now listen, I don't always go by polls, but when Rolling Stone does a reader's poll, it is people that are like you and I, and they take the poll. Master of Puppets has three of the top 10 tracks included on that list. So that's a lot too. Now I know I think Black had two or three, so maybe they're tied, but to me, that definitely puts Master Puppets right up there. I'm slurring my words here. I didn't even drink. Lyrically and stylistically, I think Master Puppets basically took what Ride the Lightning did. And I don't want to say it was on steroids, but it was basically they mastered what they did. Like, they had already started to really come into their own with Ride the Lightning. Master of Puppets basically showed a mature version of the band, a band that was basically hitting on all cylinders as far as the songwriting and the composition. And I think what they did on, more importantly, Master of Puppets, basically created the template. And that's why Black Album is so successful, because of what was successful on Master of Puppets, meaning like starts off with the heavy song. You look at Master, you look at the Black Album, starts off with a heavy song. Kind of the ballad song comes in at track four. Black Album did the same thing. They kind of have the same playbook on the rest of the records. If you, after Master of Puppets, if you look at what they did as far as like track by track. And I just think one example of the maturity that I look at when I listen to Master of Puppets, from 334 to 506 on Master of Puppets, that bridge and the solo to me is one of the most iconic and exhilarating moments in Metallica's career. Like when you hear it basically go from like Master of Puppets, and then, you know, it's heavy, and all of a sudden it goes into the bridge, and it's, you hear the acoustic, and then you hear the solo. When I hear that moment, like, I get chills in my whole body. It does something.
It is amazing.
It's almost like that song takes me to a different time period. Like, it's like crazy what it does. Like, to this day, like, if I haven't heard it in a while and I hear it in this, I'll turn it up in my car and it's, my body gets like numb. I don't know what it is about. I don't know if it's like how it was written or what, or that, you know, it's just amazing. And that's just one moment that I'm talking about. Now, I do believe Master of Puppets is probably the great, if not one of the greatest Metallica songs, but my favorite is exactly the same as you. My favorite song on the album is Welcome Home Sanitarium, which I don't think gets enough credit. Like, I think that song is just, talk about another song that brings me into a moment. And I don't know what else to say as far as like, I mean, I can go track by track, but I think if you look at songs like Disposable Heroes, Leper Messiah, The Thing That Should Not Be, any one of those three songs would be major hits if it was by any other thrash band on any other album. But on this album, they're like deep cuts because, you know, obviously the hits are just so massive.
Well, this is going to be something for you. I'm going to throw this out here.
But you can say the same thing about the Black Album. So, like I said, dude, a lot of this is just like, it's so hard to realistically hone in on it. But for me, like I said, and that's why I hit on that moment when I hear Master of Puppets, I just think that that shows like the jump that they made from Ride the Lightning to Master of Puppets, to me, is a bigger jump than the one from Master of Puppets to Black Album. If you're going to skip over Injustice for All and say they kind of took a step back, that jump, I think, is bigger between Ride the Lightning to Master than Master to Black. And that's it. That's the only reason for me. Because like I said, I could put the Black Album number one. I really could, because I love it.
Well, here's something that kind of, like, for your argument a little bit here. Rolling Stone magazine in its 2017 list of 100 greatest metal albums of all time ranked Master of Puppets number two behind Black Sabbath's Paranoid. But again, I take lists like that with a grain of salt because hear me out on this. I think as great as Master of Puppets is, I think it's almost become, I hate to say it because it's such an amazing record and I don't want to diss any part of the record, but it's almost become trendy to say it's the best Metallica album because of the haters that bash the Black Album. And I think both of us would agree when it comes to Rolling Stone, I take it with a grain of salt because they're always going to go with the politically correct pick. Like, for example, that they probably rank U2 as the greatest band of all time. It's Rolling Stone, for crying out loud. So I take it with a grain of salt. Let me just look up some other numbers here. Yeah, like, we're getting into semantics here because these are both such great records.
Well, it's analytics, and yeah, you're going to do that when you have such a close. Like, honestly, I agree that you know, you can't always go by the list, but I do think polls are true. Like when poll, because like I said, if you take a poll on anything, yeah, it depends on the sample size of the poll. If you only asked 100 people, you know, you
but again, I still think I just take those with a grain of salt because it's become almost like a trendy thing to bash the Black Album.
And I got that.
And so it makes, to me, the polls are always going to be biased.
I guess that's
where the difference is. I'm trying to look at this thing without bias.
No, and I guess that's where the difference is between me and you having a debate on it, because we both love the Black Album. It's not like I'm some diehard guy on here that's like old school, you know, thrash that anything past Justice for All, I hate.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's not true.
And in some cases, anything past Master, they hate. But yeah, I'm more open-minded than that. But you know what? Let me throw some other stats up here. And again, this doesn't mean anything. It's not about what sells the best. But I think it does have to come into consideration. The Black Album has sold 16 million copies in the United States. It's the first album in the SoundScan era to do so. Another thing that I love about the Black Album, I think it's definitely lyrically the most introspective record in Metallica's catalog. Not that other songs hadn't been introspective in the past, but more on this album than ever before. If you know James Hetfield's background, he was raised in a Christian Scientists, I think they call him, where they don't believe in any kind of modern medicine. So his parents, they never gave him medicine when he was growing up. If he got sick, they believed in just praying the illness away. And that's where the song "The God That Failed" came from. So it's just so much more introspective. The central theme of the song is faith and human reliance on it, of unrewarded belief in a God that fails to heal. The lyrics and song material were inspired by Hetfield's anguish on the circumstances surrounding his mother's death. She died of cancer after refusing medical attention, solely relying on her belief in God to heal her. Hetfield felt that had she not followed her Christian Science beliefs, she could have survived. So, I mean, that's so deep, you know? And to me, that was like more introspective than anything Metallica had done before. Again, I've already pointed out Nothing Else Matters, how introspective that was. Lead singer and rhythm guitarist James Hetfield wrote the song in 1990 while on tour. So this is before the Black Album, you know, was even anything at this point, you know? He was bumming out about being away from home. Initially, the song was not meant to be released. Hetfield had written it for himself, but after drummer Lars Ulrich heard it, it was considered for the album. Again, very introspective. Of Wolf and Man, James Hetfield, if you know anything about him, he's an avid hunter. So My Friend of Misery, the struggle within, James's battles with alcoholism. I just think that this was the most introspective, and it was the first time we really saw Metallica, James Hetfield in particular, open himself up to the audience. And it was still, again, authentic Metallica. It wasn't like whiny, like millionaires, like during the St. Anger sessions and watching them cry to each other, you know, in Some Kind of Monster, which turned a lot of people off. As great as the documentary was, it still did turn a lot of people off. It was just different then. And this is also considering that this was probably when they finally were fully mentally recovered. Not that they'll ever be fully mentally recovered from losing Cliff in the accident and seeing him trapped under the bus deceased. You'll never recover from that. But I mean, they were moving past it for once. They accepted, you know, Jason Newsted into the band, at least as much as they ever would have. Speaking of Jason Newsted, I'm going to drop a bomb right here off subject, but I'll throw it in. Did you see he did an interview recently where he said he was approached by Alex Van Halen to play in a rebooted version of Van Halen with Joe Satriani?
I didn't.
He turned it down. He said it wouldn't be doing Eddie justice. I'm off subject, but I had to throw that in there.
So I didn't hear that.
Bombshell news.
Because I agree, and I know you would agree that you don't think Van Halen should ever play.
No, not without Eddie. But neither here nor there. So anyway, back to the Black Album. I just think it was super introspective. Again, production was great. And then just add the sales and everything it did. And here's another question I have to ask. Two things. A point I'll make and a question I'll ask. You make a great point that could almost sway me when you say Master of Puppets is arguably the greatest thrash album of all time. It probably is, right? But if you're going to make that argument, couldn't you make the argument that the Black Album is the greatest metal album of all time?
Yeah, see, I couldn't.
And you might be right. You might be right. You have to
I think Appetite's a better metal album, and I think Appetite's a better metal album than the Black Album. I think not Judas Priest, Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing.
Black
Appetite isn't necessarily a metal album. It's a hard rock album.
I know.
Led Zeppelin is predating
metal. I know where you're going with it, but I don't think I couldn't. Maybe you could. I don't know. That would be something that we would have to debate.
We're here to do it. Anyway, but you know what? I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying it's definitely something you could argue. If you're going to argue Master of Puppets as the greatest thrash album of all time, you could argue Black Album as the greatest metal album of all time. It's a controversial statement, of course. And then here's my other point that I was going to make, and then I'm going to rest my case with this. If Metallica never puts out the Black Album and achieves the level of success and fame that they do, are we still talking about Metallica today the way we are? And are they still a band? And are they still touring like they are?
It's a great question. Probably not.
It's an excellent
question. I mean, and you have to look at that. I agree. Like, dude, you may have just nailed it. I mean, as far as Metallica.
Because think about it. They were almost done after they lost Cliff. Then Injustice for All. I'm not saying they wouldn't have made records and they wouldn't have been around, but at some point they might not have, just like a lot of other bands when the 90s and grunge came, faded into oblivion. Bands that had huge success in the 80s faded into oblivion because there wasn't a market for their music anymore. Certain bands were able to transcend that. Bands like Guns N' Roses, Aerosmith, Metallica, Bon Jovi. Why though? Because those were bands that had gotten so commercially huge before the wave of grunge and the changing of the tides in music, they were able to withstand it. Def Leppard, to a lesser extent, because even they didn't have the success they had nearly close to that in the 90s. Only a few bands weathered the storm, and it was bands that had reached that commercial peak of insanity, like Van Halen's another one. Bands that sold 20 million records, AC/DC. So if Metallica never gets to that commercial level of the bands I just mentioned, do they survive that storm? Do they weather it? Or are we talking about them the way we're talking about Exodus today or Anthrax? And not that those bands aren't big in their own right, but are they Metallica big? And then again, here's another question. Would those bands still be around the way they were in the last 20 years if Black Album hadn't brought the scene into the mainstream the way it did? Because couldn't you also make the argument that the reason bands like Slayer and Exodus and Testament became a part of the vernacular and became as known as they were and as appreciated years later was because a band as big as Metallica was bringing them on tour? Would the Big Four concerts that happened a few years back have happened if Metallica hadn't reached that level of success that the Black Album provided them? I think you can make the argument.
I
think a lot of those bands rode the coattails of Metallica later in their careers because of the success Metallica had.
I mean, you bring up, that's a phenomenal point.
I feel like I got you speechless.
Yeah, because I never even thought of it that way. That's a great question. I don't think so. They're probably not. Probably the answer is probably no. I mean, what do you think?
I gave you my answer. I think I'm not saying that they wouldn't have been around, but would they have? It's possible they would have at some point kind of faded into oblivion and broke up like so many other bands did, and then maybe would have reunited and been playing fairs like so many other bands do from that era, thrash bands or glam bands, like just 80s bands in general. And again, the bands that were lesser in that scene only get a lot of the big tours because they go out on play festivals that bands like Metallica are headlining. Like, is Exodus going to go headline these things on their own? Even Megadeth doesn't, and it's your favorite band.
Yeah, I know.
And again, even Megadeth's commercial viability followed Metallica's. You can't deny it. The Black Album came out, and then Countdown came out, and it was all over MTV. And these bands followed suit. Testament's most commercial record came out. What, the Legacy, right? Why am I drawing a blank?
Yeah, no, you're right.
It was Legacy. Legacy, yeah. But you get what I'm saying here, dude. And then for all the talk that Slayer never sold out, come on. Slayer came out with a freaking new metal album in the 90s, basically. But anyway, I rest my case.
I mean, like I said, you just realistically, you know, I don't want to say you swayed me because I still think Master of Puppets, but I mean, realistically, I could really put the Black Album above it. It's just, I don't know. I look at this one final thing. Like, if you want to know the undiminished appeal of Master of Puppets, I mean, all you have to do is look at 2015, 29 years after Master of Puppets was released, with no promotional hooks, no radio play, all that stuff, right? Sold 202,000 copies in the U.S. It's the fifth highest selling metal album in 2015, 29 years later, with no promotion.
What were the Black Album sales in that same year? Do you have them?
Wasn't that. I wasn't that.
Neither here nor there. It's a good point to make, but I just kind of threw something into my head here. As great and as recognized as Master of Puppets is now, not and nothing to do with the greatness, but as commercially recognized as it is now in hindsight, and same as Kill 'Em All, Ride the Lightning, wouldn't you argue that so many Metallica fans discovered those records because they discovered the Black Album and then went back in the catalog?
Yes, that's a good point.
That's huge, bro. That's huge. For all the people that call Metallica a sellout, how many fans discovered the older material because of the record that they call the sellout? I don't know. That's what I mean, I got to rank Black Album number one, Jay. I got to do it.
And I rank Master Puppets number one. And
we'll call it a hung jury,
though. I believe that Master Puppets 2, the thing that does it for me, at least maybe this is just me personally, is the fact that it memorializes Cliff Burton. Like, he died literally. That album comes out, he dies. Like, and he was responsible, like I said, he for five of those tracks, he had a lot of influence. Like, and you can see his influence. And not that you didn't see it on not that you didn't see it on Ride the Lightning, but I just, like I said, for me, it's that jump in maturity.
You just reminded me of something I wanted to bring up earlier in the show, your Cliff Burton points. Here's one more thing for me when I think of the Black Album, as how it relates to Cliff Burton. And thank you for making me remember it. So many people say, oh, well, if Cliff was alive, they would have never made that record. And I disagree 100% with that. Cliff Burton was the most musically diverse of the band. He had the most eclectic tastes in music in the band. Cliff Burton's the one that showed Lars and James the Misfits. Cliff Burton loved Lynyrd Skynyrd. Like, years later, you heard Metallica covered Skynyrd songs, like Tuesday's Gone. That was all Cliff Burton's influence in that band. So I think you can make the argument if Cliff had lived, they might have started that kind of experimentation years earlier. Just my opinion.
I agree with you. I'm not one of those people that says that, because, like I said, I think Cliff Burton had a lot more to do with the band in general when he was alive.
We see it still. We see it still. The fact that they cover Misfits tunes, the fact that they cover Skynyrd tunes. And in my opinion, even a lot of the stuff they did on Load, I think, showed a Cliff Burton influence.
I mean, and listen, let's face it. Just because band members say it's their favorite album doesn't mean that it's the best. But for what it's worth, Kirk Hammett says every day, all day, Master of Puppets is his favorite album that he ever made. And that means saying a lot.
That has a lot of weight. Yep.
Anyway, I agree. I think it's a hung jury. I don't think we're going to agree, but I think we both had great arguments. I think it was an awesome freaking show. Who doesn't love talking about Metallica? I wish we had more commenters. I was hoping people would be chiming in. Like,
yeah, we had a few, but listen, it was awesome. It's always great to talk metal. And you know what? We want to hear what you guys think. You know what we think. I take the Black Album as Metallica's top album. Jason over here takes Master of Puppets as Metallica's
top album. Again, you know where we are with this. You heard our arguments. What do you guys think? Watch the show. Rewatch the show. Share it with your friends. Comment on YouTube. Comment on Twitter. Email us. Go to our website, www.sportsandmetal.com. There you'll find both of our podcasts, Sports and Metal and at the Gav- and the Gavel Will Rock. Find us on Twitter at Gavel Will Rock and at Sports and Metal. Message us, hit us up, and tell us what you think is the best Metallica record. As always, we hope you enjoyed our show. Again, check out our sponsor, La Touraine Watches. Go to their website, la-touraine.com. Use our promo code SNM at checkout. That's SNM as in Sports and Metal. And you're going to save 10% off your purchase. It was an awesome show, Jay. I'm so glad we did it. And I hope we do it again soon.
Thanks for listening to And the Gavel Will Rock with Jason Voorhees and Aaron Savage.
Ooh, yeah.
Tune in next time when two more iconic albums stand trial. Got a request? Like us on Facebook and hit us up on Twitter at Gavel Will Rock. Or email us at andthegavelwillrock@gmail.com.